thanks for listening to the Radiant Church Podcast. This is David Perkins, and we're so glad that you're listening. Hey, if you're a part of our family meeting online or in person, we want to encourage you to get connected at Radiant Church KC across all social media platforms. God is doing something incredible in Kansas City, and we love connecting with you, whether it's through our app or even through all the content available on our YouTube page. Hey, our prayer is that God uses this message to change your life and that you could become a dynamic disciple of Jesus. Thanks for listening. Enjoy this message. Amen. Hey, let's give a big hand to everybody that's working on the Bold Conference. So good. Great to see all of you today. I'm so grateful for you, and I believe that one of the reasons God gave us this big old building is to mobilize thousands of teenagers to encounter God like that. And so in addition to reading the scripture today, I want to invite you to stand, and I want to turn this into an intercessory prayer moment. I want to pray. Actually, our building that we're going to be at in July for Bold Conference, we had already signed a contract on another space before we knew we were going to be moving in here. So this will be the last summer that we won't be in this building, but in summer of 2025, we will be right here, everybody. And so, that's great. Let's go. I'd like to invite you, if you wouldn't mind, just to stretch out your hands, though, and I just want to pray over this building and this call that God has on our church. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we come before you so grateful for this gift of this church building that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, that this will be a place where thousands of children and teenagers will pray. We thank you, Lord God, that over the years to come, you have given us a space. And so we do ask, Lord God, for the teenagers that will gather this summer, but we also ask for decades to come that this would be a place of encounter. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would use this house in addition to the things you've called us to do in Kansas City, Lord, to help the lost be saved and the saved be discipled and the discipled empowered and the empowered filled with the light of Jesus. We ask that you would use this church to reach the young people of the United States. We ask, Lord God, that Gen Z would encounter God. We pray, Lord, that you would use this house, this church, this building, Lord God, to be a bright light for the broken to encounter Christ, for the lonely to encounter Christ, for those who don't know their calling to hear, for the word of God to come alive in their hearts. So God, use us, help us, we need you. Your leadership, your strength, and your voice will enable us, Lord God, to serve young people. We pray that you would do it. Have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. And Radiant Church said amen. 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 Hey, you can remain standing. It's great to see all of you. What would I say? What? Oh yeah, that's what I said. Okay. You can remain standing. I want to take this moment, read out of Ephesians chapter 3. We're in this series, and we've just taken just week after week one chapter. So Ephesians 3, this week it's super dense. We got so much in it. I want to just go after one phrase that talks about encountering the love of Christ. And really, there's two things in my heart for us today on this day. One, that you would experience or encounter the love of Christ. That's the first thing. And the second thing is I want us to learn to be a people that pray biblical prayers. So I want to go after you and I growing as a praying church and praying for our spouses, for our children, for the people that we're committed to discipling, and even for people that don't know Jesus yet. And so we're going to take this famous prayer that Paul prays in Ephesians 3. A few weeks ago, we were in Ephesians 1, and we read that famous Ephesians 1:17 text. And last week, we were in Ephesians 2. Here's Ephesians chapter 3. And so let's read this, and then I'll let you sit down. I might have you stand all day. You know, just kidding. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 says this: "For this reason, I kneel before the Father." So picture Paul praying. He speaks to his church in Ephesus. "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, and I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power." Say power. "Power. With power through his spirit in your inner beings, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Would you just place your hand on your heart? Father, I ask that for every heart beating in this room, you would help us grasp. To know with our minds, but to experience with our heart the love of Christ. The love that is so powerful that knowledge cannot understand it. We pray that we would know the unknowable love, the immeasurable love, the love of Christ. So today I pray that all across this room, there would be encounters with Jesus. We pray, Lord God, that in addition to what we can know with our mind, that we would experience an encounter with our heart. So Holy Spirit, pour out the love of God into our hearts today. We pray, Lord, for hundreds of encounters with the living Jesus. We want to be with Jesus. We love you. Amen. You may be seated. Years ago, I was talking to a friend of mine, and I didn't know him when he had gotten married, but he was telling me the story about the day of his wedding, his fiance did not show up to the ceremony. And this was not like a Matthew McConaughey rom-com type story. This was, he was telling me the pain and the sadness of the day where here he had this high expectation, this commitment, this, I'm gonna marry you, this covenant love commitment. And then the pain that he experienced that she didn't show up. So he told the story about then going to the mountains for a few days and just grieving the loss. I was just thinking about that idea of pouring out love only to not feel or experience it being reciprocated. As many of you know, I spent 20 years in student ministry, youth ministry from 1995 to 2015. And I watched so many times parents pour out their lives in a self-sacrificial way for teenagers, work two jobs, take them to unending activities, desire the best education, work to put food on the table, only to watch moments where teenagers would roll their eyes in disgust at their parents. Only to watch moments where we would provide a moment and have teenagers be so embarrassed of their super dumb parents. And I would just sometimes experience that inevitable pain that a parent feels, where you've given your life to love, where you have shown and expressed and given in a self-sacrificial way, love. Here's Paul, and Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, and his prayer for them was that they would reciprocate love. Jesus has gone to the cross, Jesus has died, Jesus has rose from the dead. And in Paul's prayer, his prayer is that they would experience the love of God, know the love of God, so that there might be love in the heart of this church in Ephesus for Christ. You and I, we have got so much information about love. And here is Paul's prayer for me and for you today. That we would know the unknowable love, that we would experience. Some of you might say, hey, I don't really want to talk about experience. I like talking about Christianity as long as we're talking about the intellect, but I don't want to talk about an encounter, an experience, except for that this word here that Paul uses in Ephesians is to talk about a knowing or an experiencing that is beyond just what you know with your head, it's what you know with your heart. And one of the most one of the best days you'll have in your walk with Jesus is when your relationship with him goes beyond just what you know in your head to an encounter that you have in your heart, to encountering the love of God. And this is his prayer, that you would know this love that surpasses knowledge. Or you could say that you would encounter this love, this this love that is, and he goes into this, how wide, how high, how deep, how long is the love of Christ? I want you to know, and this is his prayer. And you can picture Paul in a Roman prison cell, and he's chained, and he says, for this reason, I bow my knee. And so Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, had talked about, hey, when you pray, go into your prayer closet and pray in secret. Paul, though, he's got a guard chained to him, and so he physically makes an expression where he bows his knee. Who knows what it's like to be chained to a man who's on his knee in intercession. It's not casual, it's sincere. His body posture changes with the purpose of praying for the church in Ephesus. And he says, for this reason, I bow my knee. And this is his prayer that they in the first century would know the love of Christ, that they would encounter, that they would experience, that you would know the love that is beyond just knowing in your head. Of course, for many of us, I think about all the teenagers that are even gonna gather this summer. This is oftentimes the first thing that we know. We sing the song, Jesus Loves Me. We hear it with our head. And one of the sadnesses is when we experience or know something in our head, but we don't encounter something with our heart. And I think not just in Gen Z, but in us. We can live without the kind of experiential knowledge, experiential love, and just be content to know with our head, but not encounter with our heart. My aim today at the end of this service is to take a moment and to just ask God that you would afresh encounter his love. I was with one of my children recently, and we were at passport control, entering back into the United States. And we had been in another country where they didn't have the kind of clean water or the sanitation or the roads like the United States. Certainly didn't have the Starbucks and some of the pleasures of $7 boba and all the things. And as we're standing in the line, my child said to me, the United States of America is awesome. And I said, yes. And my child said, I mean, I've always known that America was awesome, but now I know, as we looked forward to entering back into the States. And the verbalization was basically, what I knew with my head, I now have experienced with my life. Many of us, it's so easy for us, whether it's a Sunday, or whether it's just reading, or whether it's hearing, it's easy to have a confession of the love of Christ. It's easy for us to have knowledge of the love of Christ. And Paul's prayer for you, just like it was for the church in Ephesus, would be that you would know the love that surpasses intellect, that surpasses what is knowable with the mind, that you would experience with the heart. This is more than just a preacher in Kansas City in 2024 saying, hey, this is what I think would be great for our church. No, this is what Paul, when he's praying and he's looking towards, this will bring transformation to the heart of the people in Ephesus. This is what I long for. This is why I bow my knee. This is what I desire for you. I desire that you would know. I was sitting in a circle with some pastors recently with a fire, and the pastor showed me that he had a patch inside of his coat, and on it, it had the word fire. And you think, oh, David, you hang out with some crazy people. Hold on, just listen. And he keeps it right there. In fact, every jacket, not every shirt, but every jacket that he has, he puts a patch with the word fire right there. And he told me the story about Blaise Pascal, the French philosopher, who sewed a patch of his journal entry. So here's a philosopher, and in his journal entry in 1654, this is 1654, long time ago. This is what he wrote in his journal. In the year of grace, 1654, Monday, the 23rd of November, the day of St. Clement, for about 10:30 in the evening until 12:30, capital, F-I-R-E, fire. God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, not the God of the philosophers and the learned, although he was the philosopher and the learned of his day. Certainty, joy, certain emotion, forgetfulness of the world and all the outside of God. The world has not known thee, but I have known thee. Joy, joy, joy. Tears of joy. My God, don't leave me. Let me not ever be separated from thee. So my friend didn't put all that. He just put one word, fire. And it'll be often his prayer as he puts his hand on his heart. Let me know the love of God. Fire in the heart. John Wesley is famous for saying that he felt his heart strangely warmed, that experience at Aldersgate. And it's the story where what he knew with his head, he encountered in his heart. And this would be my prayer for us today, that you would more than just sing a song, hear a phrase, but that in addition to this day, that on Monday and Tuesday, as you sit with your prayer journal or however you pray, when you drive, when you gather with your family, when you take the hand of your spouse and just say a 10-second prayer, when you're running or when you're lifting, whatever you're doing, wherever you're taking intentional moments to be with Jesus, that this would be your prayer. I want to know more than just with my head. I want to be a person of encounter. And I pray, Lord God, that I would know the height, the length, the width, the depth of Christ. I wanna know this love that surpasses knowledge. So that we're not a people that even in our own mind start to believe we've encountered something we've never encountered. I remember one time when my kids were really little, I took missions trips every year, sometimes twice a year for many years, taking young people. So my kids were always so impressed with how many places that I'd been. And so they would say, Dad, have you been here? Have you been there? Have you been here? Have you been here? And so one time we're sitting and one of my kids said, Dad, have you ever been to Paris? To which I replied, yes. To which my number one on the Enneagram truth-telling wife said, have you really been to Paris? And I said, well, yes, I've been to the airport in a layover, right? And she made the point, okay, so you've been to Paris, but you haven't been to Paris. You haven't been, I mean, you haven't like seen the Eiffel Tower. I was like, that wasn't the question. It was like, have you been to Paris? We got in a little marriage debate. I answered the question correctly. She said, yeah, but that was, anyway, you get the idea. I think you and I think many of us would say, yeah, of course, I sing Jesus Loves Me. I know the Delirious song from the 90s. Like, I know the love of God. But I just wonder what happens to you and me if whatever was Paul's intent took place in your heart. If whatever Paul was praying for the church in Ephesus took place in my heart. If whatever Paul's prayer was for the church in Ephesus that they would receive, if we would receive it at Radiant Church in Kansas City in 2024. If it was beyond just what I know and it moved to what I experience. And I want to invite us to not only pray that over our own lives, but today in the precious minutes that I have with you, I want to invite you to not just receive that for your own life, but to make the way, the methodology of Paul's prayer a part of how you pray. And it's interesting to me because Paul's prayer is not for the external circumstance of the church in Ephesus. His prayer is that they would experience, it's for the inner heart. So he's praying that they would encounter the power of the Spirit, encounter the love of God in their, his phrase is, in the inner man. So imagine you and I turning how we pray when we pray for other people to not just the exterior, but to pray for the inner man, to pray that they would encounter the love of Christ. I know that the temptation is to always pray for the external. This week, I prayed for a widow in Guatemala, and I found myself praying for the externals because her external situation was so challenging. This week, I found myself praying for somebody who needs healing, and I mostly prayed for their physical body because in my mind, that's what they need. This week, I prayed for somebody who's in a financial circumstance where they need God to provide for them. And I prayed for that, and without even thinking, just external, external, external. And yet, if we look at what Paul prays for the church in Ephesus, he doesn't pray for the external things, he prays internal. He prays for their heart. I pray that for your heart. So obviously what he prayed in Ephesians 1, when he prayed for the eyes of their heart to be open. And here in Ephesians 3, he's praying, I pray that you would know the love of Christ. Gnosko, I pray that you would encounter, experience, that you would know the love, that you would know how wide, how high, how deep is the love of Christ, that you would know this love that surpasses knowledge. And when we start to pray that, if you started to pray that for the people that you love, that's the prayer that I would encourage you is a step of Christian maturity. You say, ah, I don't know if I could go there. I remember years ago, I haven't had, there are some areas of my life where I am not extremely privileged, but one of the places that I'm extremely privileged is I've had many mentors. I've had many older men, 20 and 30 years older than me, that have invested in me. And I remember years ago saying to one of them, hey, listen, I have three job opportunities in front of me. I've got this option, option B, and option C. Which one you think I should do? And his response was, I'll pray that you go to the place where you grow in love for Christ. No. Listen, I got my bachelor's degree. I'm working hard. I got my resume, blah, blah, blah. And the mature Christian did not respond with, well, what's the salary here? And what did it? No. The mature Christian said, I'll pray that you'll go to the place where you will grow in love with Christ. I remember about 2014, taking my family to a different mentor's house. And we got to his house and we had a meal with his family. And I had known about the place where he prayed because he had a room that he prayed. And he would spend time with God or with Jesus in that space. And I remember walking into that room and there was a prayer list on his wall. And I looked at his wall and I looked up and he had his family. And then there was this group of people that he prayed for. And I saw David, Renata, Dawson, Olivia, Adeline, Justice. And I pointed to it and I said, hey. And he goes, oh yeah, I pray for you every day. He had never texted me asking me, hey, how can I pray for you? Is your car working? You wish you could be a little bit taller, you know? Wish you were a baller? Just kidding. Never any of those things. Here's what he prayed. He just prayed Bible prayers. Just, this is my prayer. Hey, I wanna invite you to this. I've encouraged all of us to pray an hour a week as an intercessor, 9 minutes a day. David, that's too much. No, you can do it. 9 minutes a day. Where you stand in the gap, that's Christian language, where you pray, where you stand as an intercessor and you pray for somebody else. So our temptation is always to pray external. God, I just pray that my spouse will get so much smarter. God, I just pray that David would just, this is Renata's prayers, right? I pray that David would just clean the blessed garage. God, I pray that David would, right? Or we pray for our kids. God, I just pray that they would, okay? Those external prayers are good. And if you'll start to pray this prayer, if you'll take Paul's template and you'll begin to pray biblical prayers, or pray this prayer that they would, your spouse, your children would know the love of Christ. What happens in the human heart when you know that you are loved and you experience that love. Almost, I don't know if you've ever noticed, almost all of the Christian songs that hit it big are a fresh rendition of, he loves us, oh how he loves us. There's something about a tree. I mean, or a reckless love or whatever. It's almost always about that encounter where I once knew something with my head, but now I've encountered with my heart. And you start to pray that prayer for your spouse, for your children, maybe for the people that you're intentionally discipling, maybe for the people that you work with, and pray that biblical prayer. This is Paul's prayer. You make that your prayer. You'll watch. The very people that you're tempted to just make it all about the external, you'll watch something better happen. God be at work in their heart. My mentor's prayer that I would go to the place where I would love Christ was ultimately a statement that if I get that and I understand Christ's love, then I can handle any circumstance, instead of praying that my circumstance will be. So I just thought, just to be a smart aleck and silly, I thought I would write what I think is often like our typical prayer. So if Paul was praying for the church at Ephesus and he was praying over their externals, like most of us pray, and I'm not being mean a little bit, but just hear this out. I wrote this and I just wrote what we would probably pray. Like this is for most of us, and I'm not trying to be mean, I'm just saying, if I don't go internal and I just go external, this is what I'm talking about. And hear me out, this is not a bad prayer. I just don't think this is the center of the way that Paul prays. And so what I'm trying to do is not try to say, criticize this prayer. And this is my prayer, so I'm not picking on anybody, I made this up. But to help us mature a little bit, to help us get beyond just this prayer. So here it is. This would be what, if we were just praying external prayers, it might sound more like this. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with good health, an attractive appearance, and a long life in your outer being, so that you may dwell happily in Kansas City with your family and friends. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in safety, may have feasts and fun together with all the community, and to grasp how smart, unique, and cool you really are. And to enjoy your life, your house, your job, your car, and all your self-interests, so that you may be filled with the good life. People are like, whoa, David's a jerk. Okay. I honestly think, like, we have, I mean, we do Matthew 7. Hey, we ask the Father loves a good, give good gifts. We'll say that all day long. Yes, I think what I just prayed, I think I am not saying that that is wrong. But I am inviting us, as you pray, to take that a step further. Start there, but take it to this. And I pray that they would go internal. I pray that your spouse, your children, that they would know the love of Christ, that they would know the love that surpasses knowledge, that on a Tuesday they would encounter the love of Christ. And when there is the knowledge of God's love that is not just mental, but it's experiential, it's real. It's the story of their lives. It's the driving down the road with the song on. It's the overflow of just prayers as you're standing in the security line at the airport, where you just, to know this love. Thank you, I've encountered. So yes, it's refreshed when the latest radio song comes on, but it's more than that. It's the story of your life. This is my story. This is what God has done for me. And so then I start to pray that for other people, that they would know the love that surpasses knowledge. This is Paul's prayer. What happens when it's yours? So yes, it's your prayer. I want to experience the love of God, and it becomes your prayer for other people. My dream is that you and I would become a people that love to pray biblical prayers, that pray with spiritual maturity as we pray for our spouses and our children and the people that we're intentionally discipling. Oh, David, that intentional discipleship stuff, that's just for the super spiritual people. No, that's for Christ followers. Oh, I want to be a person. Oh, I want to be a person that prays God, that they would know the love that surpasses knowledge. So yes, moments like this where we create a prayer team. There's some great prayers. And it's a great prayer team that says, I pray for all these externals. Great, no problem. And then you take it a little bit deeper. And I pray that they would internal, that they would encounter and know God, the power in their inner man, that they would know Christ. That's Paul's example. And when you pray that, then you can go through any circumstance. And Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 4, where he says, hey, though outwardly we are wasting away, though inwardly we are being renewed day by day. So you get that person that their life, we might be praying for their externals to be better right here and right now, but 7 years later, they're going through that difficult crisis. And many people, if they get all their externals right, but they don't have the internal relationship with Jesus right, then they end up mad at God and bitter and frustrated and saying, I'm gonna deconstruct from the faith because life didn't turn out like I'd hoped. But you get this locked in with a 16-year-old that faces crisis after crisis, that life doesn't turn out quite like they had hoped. And they can say, though outwardly we are wasting away, though outwardly, so my circumstance gets hard, but inwardly we're being renewed. I'm encountering the love of Christ day after day after day. Then you can be like Paul in a Roman prison cell. And hey, before I met Christ, I'm just out persecuting other people. Now, Acts 9, I've encountered the risen Christ. And since that day, I'm being beaten with rods, thrown into prison and shipwrecked. And my external life has gotten more challenging. But my internal life is ablaze. That you would know this love, that you would encounter this love. So we as a people, we are 100% saying, making this prayer the prayer for our own lives. And we are also turning it into the language of how we pray for others. So there's without a doubt, send me the text. How can I pray for you? Hey, pray for my income to get better. Pray for my house to get bigger. Pray for my house to be greener. Pray for my kids to like me back. Okay, we're all gonna pray for those. But every time you slip in, and you don't even have to ask their permission, and I pray that their love may abound. I pray that they would grow in the knowledge of Christ's love. How wide, how high, how deep is the love of Christ? I want that to be the secret little prayer that if you go to Radiant, you're just always slipping it in. And I pray that they would grow in the knowledge of the love of God. That they would encounter this love that surpasses knowledge. I'd like to conclude today where you stand, and I'm gonna get on my knees like Paul, and I'm gonna pray that God does this in our lives. Will you stand with me? Or not with me, I'm gonna kneel. I'd like to invite you to just put your hand over your heart again. I'd like to invite our prayer team to come forward. Turn and just, the prayer team, if you could come forward and turn and face the church. I'd like to invite you just with your hands on your hearts. We're gonna go personal for a moment. I'm gonna warn you, I am gonna invite you to be an intercessor in a moment. So be ready. I'm gonna pray Paul's prayer of our church. For this reason, God, I kneel before you, the Father from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of your glorious riches, you would strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being, our inner man, on the inside, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of your holy people, to grasp or to comprehend how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. We want to know this love that surpasses knowledge. We ask that we would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to you, who is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. According to your power that is at work within us, your people, to you be glory in Radiant Church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now, would you take 30 seconds and just go devotional for one moment? And would you just pray Paul's prayer over your own life, that you would know the love that surpasses knowledge? Now, would you pray this biblical prayer? I'd like to invite you to pray over two groups of people. One person that you have a burden for, spouse, child, friend. And then I'd like to invite you to pray it over the hundreds of young people that'll join us at Bold Conference this summer. They're gonna come from Ohio, Kentucky, Texas, Colorado, they're coming from everywhere. Would you take a moment? Would you pray that they would experience or encounter or know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge? Jesus. We think of the cross. I think about how wide is the love of Christ. For God so loved the world, Jew and Gentile, tongue, tribe, and nation, desire that none would perish, but all would come to repentance. How wide is the love of Christ? How deep? Whether it was a thief on the cross or a tax collector, a woman caught in adultery, there was no sinner, no person whose sin was a deep pit that you wouldn't forgive and love. How high? Just think of Christ Jesus, seated in heavenly places. How long? From eternity past to eternity future. We just say, how wide, how high, how deep, how long is the love of Christ? We pray that the love of Christ would be our story, and that we would so identify with Jesus that our favorite prayer is, oh God, I pray that they would know this love, the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. I pray that you would be at work in every person that we've lifted up in prayer today. Help us, God, to be a people that pray. Raise up a praying church. We love you. Just as we sing this last song, I just wanna invite you to stay 60 more seconds. Some of you that you would say, I'd like somebody to pray for me. I know these things with my head, I wanna know them with my heart. If that's you today, I just wanna invite you just to come forward and let somebody pray for you. As we sing this last song in a moment. You might be in the room today and you would say, I wanna be with Jesus. I like that song we've been singing. I'm far from him. I don't know the life of doing life with God, but you want to. This is the great day for you to respond and do life with Jesus. If you want to begin a journey as a follower of Jesus, I want to invite you just to pray this with me. Jesus, rescue me and save me. deliver me and heal me. I turn from my way and I go your way. I receive the life that comes from Christ. I give you my life. Save me, change me, make me yours. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name.